Krishna. Have all of you had lunch, prasadam? Tired? Maybe today the gap was a little less, but we have only 1.5 days, so a little austerity. Continue first with Govinda Damodara Stotra. We chanted 10 verses in the morning. We'll chant another 10 now. Is worked out in just a few words on the importance of songs such as this. These songs are not ordinary songs. They are songs that come from the depths of a heart that is full of devotion for Krishna. And these are spontaneous outpourings of a devoted heart. And dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena gata sapantha. So the real truths, the esoteric truths of dharma, the ways of dharma, bhakti, are all hidden in the hearts of the great mahajans. So when we hear the songs and compositions of exalted souls like Shukadev Goswami, Bilva Mangal Thakur, then we understand the ways of bhakti, what real Krishna consciousness is. So let us continue from text 11 of the Govinda Damodara Stotra.
Kridantamantar Vrajamatmanam Svam Samam Vayasyai Pashupala Balaihi Premna Yashoda Prajuhav Krishnam Govindadamodara Madhaveti Govindadamodara Madhaveti Govindadamodara Madhaveti
Kridantam, antar vrajam. In vraja, when the Lord was playing, doing krida, atmanam svam, with his playmates, samam vayasyaihi, of the same age, pashupala balaihi, they were all cowherd boys, premna, Premna Yashoda Prajuhava Krishnam. So with great love, Mother Yashoda called out to Krishna. And what did she call out? O Govinda, Damodara, Madhava.
Yashodaya gadham ulukhalena Bhokantha pashena nibadhyamanam Rurodamandam navanita bhoje Govinda Damodara Madhaveti Govinda Damodara Madhaveti Govinda Damodara Madhaveti
Tied up to the grinding mortar with the cow's rope, Gokantha Pashena, Nibadhyaman, being bound by Yashoda, Yashodaya, Gadham, firmly, Ulukhalena, to the grinding mortar, Rurodamandam, Navanita Bhoji, the one who plunders the butter, was softly whimpering, Govinda Damodara Madhava. Now the last word Madhaveti is actually Madhava Iti. Iti means thus. So in the previous three lines, somebody says Govinda Damodara Madhava, they say thus. So therefore it becomes Eti, Madhaveti.
Nijangane kankana keli lolam Gopi grihitva navanita kolam Amardayat panitale nanetre Damodara Madhaveti Govinda Damodara Madhaveti Govinda Damodara Madhaveti
Nija Angane, in his own courtyard, Kankana Keli Lolam, Krishna was carelessly playing with a bracelet. Gopi Grihitva Navanita Golam. So Gopi took hold of a lump of butter. Amar Dayat Pani Talena Netre. She covered his eyes with her palms. And this way she distracted his attention and called out to him, saying, O Govinda Damodara Madhava, guess what I have for you? And in this way she took away the bracelet and gave him the lump of butter. Grihe, grihe, go.
गोविंद दामोदर माधवेति गृहे गोविंद दामोदर माधवेति गोविंद दामोदर माधवेति
गृहे गृहे इन एवरी हाउस गोप वधु कदम्बाह ऑल द ग्रुप्स ऑफ काउहर्ड लेडीज सर्वे मिलित्वा They would all gather together, samavaya yoge, on various occasions. Punyani namani pathanti nityam. Pathanti, they would recite. Nityam, always, regularly. Punyani namani, those very pious transcendental names. Which names? Govinda Damodara Madhava.
मन्दारमूले वदनाभिरामं बिम्बाधरे पूरितवेणुनादम् गोगोपगोपी जनमध्य संस्थं गोविन्द दामोदर माधवेति गोविंद दामोदर माधवेति गोविंद दामोदर माधवेति
Abhiramam. Vadana means face. So Krishna's place, face is very pleasing. Mandara Mule. He stands at the base of a coral tree. Bimba Adhare. Bimba means the red lips. Adhare is lips. So with his red lips, he is playing a flute and filling it. With that transcendental sound, Bimbadhare Purita Venu Nadam. Nadam means the sound. Madhya Samstham is standing in the midst of who? The cows, the gopas, and the gopis. So Krishna, who has a very pleasing face, was standing in the midst of all the Brajabasis at the base of a coral tree. And filling his flute with transcendental sound vibration.
Uttaya gopyo pararatra bhoge smritva yashoda suta bala kelim. Gayanti prochair dadhimanthayantyo Govinda Damodar Madhaveti Govinda Damodar Madhaveti Govinda दामोदर माधवेति
उत्थाय वेकिंग अप
Who wakes up? Gopyaha, all the gopis. When do they wake up? Apararatra, after the night is over, they wake up. And what do? Smritva, they remember. Who do they remember? Yashoda Suta. And what about him? Balakelim, his childish activities, his childish pastimes. Gayanti Proche Dadhi Manthayantyo. So they sing very loudly whilst they churn the butter. What do they sing loudly? Govinda Damodar Madhava.
Churned it. After churning it, she keeps it aside. And then what does she find? It's missing. It has been eaten. Grihe Yashoda Vichikitsayanti. Then what does she suspect? She goes to Krishna. Uvachas, he Murari, O Krishna, O Murari. Uvachas Satyam Vada. She says, Satyam Vada, speak the truth. And Govinda, Damodara, Madhava, tell me the truth. Where is that lump of butter?
Abhyarcha Geham Yuvate pravriddha prema pravaha dadhi nirmamantha. Gayanti gopyota sakhi sameta Govinda Damodar Madhaveti. Govinda Damodar Madhaveti. Govinda Damodar Madhaveti.
Having worshipped at home, finished her worship at home, who? A yuvati, a young girl of Vrindavan, so a gopi. Pravriddha prema pravaha, like a strong current of love for Krishna. Dadhi nirmamantha, she was churning the butter. After she finished churning the butter, Gayanti gopyo tasakhi sameta. she gets together with all her friends, the Sakhis, the other gopis, and they all sing Govinda Damodara Madhava. Kvachit prabhate dadhipurna patre nikshipya mantham yuvati mukundam. Alokya ganam vividham karoti Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. Kvachit prabhate. Prabhat means the early morning. Kvachit means sometime, one time. So one time, a yuvati, a gopi, early in the morning, dadhi purna patre, in a pot full of butter, nikshipya mantham, having finished her churning and placed the churn in that pot of butter, mukundam alokya, she saw Mukunda, Krishna. Ganam vividham karoti, she began to sing songs in various ways about Govinda, Damodara, and Madhava. Krida parambho janamajanartham hitashini stri tanujam yashoda. Aju havat prem pari plutakshi Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. Krida param bhojana majjanartham. Without even bathing, without eating, Krishna started playing. Hitaishini stri, who was the well-wishing lady of Krishna? Yashoda. Tanujam, who was thinking about her son and his welfare. Aju havat prema pariplutakshi, she called out, come and take your bath and eat something. O Govinda Damodara Madhava. Sri Bilvamangal Thakur ki jai. Sri Govinda Madhava Govinda Damodara Stotram ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Rest is very refreshing to the body and mind. Hearing about Krishna is also refreshing. Nayanabhirame, pleasing to the ear and also pleasing to the Nayana means the eyes. The form of Krishna is pleasing to the eyes, and the katha of Krishna is pleasing to the ears. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Vyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahaganiragunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare We are now resuming the narrations of that greatly exalted and extraordinary devotee and acharya, Srila Ramanujacharya. In the previous session, we concluded with the episode of Ramanuja giving up for good his tutelage under Yadava Prakash, and he becomes very pleased with this. And then he approaches Kanchipurna, who engages him in Lord Varadaraja's service, in some very simple service of fetching water for the Lord from a certain well. With great happiness, young Ramanuja continues to do this service for the Lord. In Sri Rangam, Srila Yamunacharya was in frail health. His health was deteriorating by the day. He was very old at this time. He called forth his disciples. Some of them asked him many questions. They asked for instructions. And every time, Yamunacharya's message was very similar. He spoke exclusively on this topic of prapatti, surrender, of devotion to Lord Ranganath, how they should not leave any stone unturned in the service of the Lord. They should do this with great responsibility, with great sincerity and care. And he gave them many good instructions. Some disciples who were extremely aggrieved at the prospect of Srila Yamunacharya's imminent passing away from this world, they decided that they would not be able to survive in this world without him. So they wanted to give up their life. As they came in front of Lord Ranganath in Sri Rangam, the Lord understood what was in their mind, and he strictly forbade them from doing any such thing. You should respect my decisions in this regard. In effect, he told them, when I want to take away my devotee, from the earth is my prerogative. It is my decision. Why are you trying to interfere with that? In effect, he was telling them that. You should faithfully continue to serve. Do not worry. And the devotees, of course, were somewhat pacified, but they knew that they didn't have much long to get the personal association of Srila Yamunacharya. Meanwhile, Yamunacharya appointed one of his disciples, senior disciples called Arya, to look after the other disciples. But a successor overall for the whole mission of the Sri Vaishnava faith was still something that was yet to be done. Although Yamunacharya had Ramanuja in mind, but apparently the time had not yet come. Ramanuja was still involved in his household affairs, and even though he was no longer in the clutches and the company of Yadava Prakash, but was he ready to take on this very, very important responsibility of being the head of the Sri Vaishnava community? That was a big question. News reached Kanchipuram about the frail health of Yamunacharya. Once again, two Vaishnavas from Kanchipuram hastened to Sri Rangam to have a last darshan of Yamunacharya and to inform him of the status or the situation regarding Ramanuja. And they apprised him that Ramanuja has had an altercation or a quarrel. So they informed Yamunacharya that Ramanuja had a quarrel on some points of philosophy with Yadava Prakash, and he has left his company for good. When Yamunacharya heard this, his joy knew no bounds. He began to celebrate, and he called his devotees and said, "Look, good fortune has dawned. Finally, the Lord has heard my prayer. He has separated Ramanuja from Yadava Prakash. And the day is not far away when Ramanuja will be the anointed one." So in this way, he called together some of his associates. Among them was Mahapurna. He told Mahapurna, "Go immediately to Kanchipuram and fetch Ramanuja here. I want to meet him at least once before I leave this world." Mahapurna left immediately. As he hurried, Yamunacharya, his health was deteriorating further. He went in for a last darshan of the Lord, Ranganath, offering obeisance. Then after he had darshan of the Lord, he came to his disciples who had gathered around him. And then he offered his full obeisances to his disciples. And he said, "Please pardon me for all the faults." And the disciples were astonished. And they said, "How can you speak like this, O spiritual master? What faults could you ever have committed?" This is a mood of humility that is actually the true nature of an exalted Vaishnava. In the course of the hurly-burly of day-to-day, managing day-to-day affairs, of preaching and spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, of managing so many things, one has to take decisions, one has to do things, maybe one has offended so many people. But in the last days, when the time has come, then the exalted soul wants to now make amends. Not in the sense that he was actually at fault, but he feels that he needs to make amends and to beg forgiveness from those who may have been offended similar kind of attitudes were demonstrated or exhibited by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his last few days, even by Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan when his god brothers came to see him in the last few days, and then he begged forgiveness from them. "I have offended you in many ways, but please know there was no malice. I was only trying to protect my devotees, to see that they would not get misled, that they would not lose faith. These were very young devotees." So in this way, Prabhupada was also calling his devotees, his god brothers, one by one and begging forgiveness from them. And here was Yamunacharya calling his disciples and begging forgiveness from them. So of course the disciples could not tolerate this, and they were asking for some final instructions from Yamunacharya. Yamunacharya repeated the same instructions again about how they should not give up the service to Lord Ranganath. And as he was giving them instructions, he departed from this world. Even though he was keen to be on this planet physically till Ramanuja arrived, but somehow by the Lord's arrangement, he left before Ramanuja could reach. And the arrangements for the Antima Samskar, for the final rites for an exalted soul, they were performed by, they were commenced by the devotees there. Of course, the last rites of a sannyasi, especially someone of the caliber of Yamunacharya, are not like the ordinary samskars that are performed for any other person. Normally, an ordinary person is cremated, but an exalted Vaishnava is placed in samadhi. His body as it is placed in samadhi, and various other holy substances and objects are placed along with it, and he is buried, and then that place becomes a holy place, a samadhi area. So the procedures were going on. Meanwhile, as Yamunacharya departed to Vaikuntha, here on the earth planet, Mahapurna in great haste was proceeding towards Kanchipuram to bring Ramanuja to see Yamunacharya. He came first to Kanchipurna, and together they went to have darshan of Lord Varadaraj. When Mahapurna informed Kanchipurna, then Kanchipurna was extremely sad. And in any case, at that time, they saw Ramanuja coming from the well, carrying water for the service of Lord Varadaraj. Upon seeing him from a distance, Mahapurna began to sing a particular song, or at least some verses from a song of Yamunacharya, Stotra Ratnavali. And when Ramanuja, who was fast approaching, heard these verses, he was struck with wonder. And he immediately asked Mahapurna, "Who is the author of these verses?" And Mahapurna replied, "Who else could it be but my spiritual master, Yamunacharya? Oh, then can I meet him?" This is what Mahapurna had been waiting for. So immediately he said, "Yes, certainly." And he was jubilant. And Ramanuja went to Varadaraj to take permission. "I am going to have darshan of the great saint Yamunacharya. Please permit me to depart. I may not be able to do my service till I return." He also took permission from Kanchipurna. And together with Mahapurna, they departed for Srirangam. When they reached Srirangam, they came to a place where there was a big crowd. And Ramanuja approached someone in the crowd and asked, "What has happened? It looks like something has happened here." So they said, "Oh, you don't know. Yamunacharya has departed from this world. And then they saw that the body of transcendental body of Yamunacharya was lying in state for everyone to have darshan. Both Ramanuja and Mahapurna fell to the ground unconscious in great grief. They could not bear the thought that Yamunacharya was no longer with them. Somehow or the other, they brought themselves in external control. Someone then took Ramanuja close to the body of Yamunacharya. And with a feeling of great fortune that he was at least able to see Yamunacharya once, okay, so you want to have the speaker in the center. All right, we can do. Yes, do now. The devotees in the front are not able to hear. Not able to hear anything. So whatever I have said so far, you have not heard at all. Huh? Answer that question if you didn't hear it. So Ramanuja felt himself very fortunate to at least see the transcendental body of Yamunacharya once in his life. Although he was extremely distraught that he had not been able to get the association of Yamuna. And then he saw something unusual, strange. Yamunacharya's right hand was stretched forward, but three of the fingers were closed in the right hand, in the right palm. So Ramanujacharya noted that, and he asked the devotees who were standing around, by any chance, have you noticed these three fingers? They said, yes, it's unusual. We don't know what it could be, why it is like that. So Ramanuja asked them, are you aware of any unfulfilled desires that Srila Yamunacharya may have had? They said, well, we don't know in particular, but there are three things that we know that he did talk about from time to time. So what are those three things? So first, that one should have gratitude to the memory of Vyasadev and Parashar. In other words, that one should express thanks to these great personalities through various literature and in other ways. The second, he felt that a tribute of love had to be paid to the great Alvar saint of the Sri Sampradaya, Nammalvar. In other words, some commentary on Nammalvar's works had to be written. And third, that a Sri Vaishnava commentary on the Brahma Sutras, the Vedanta Sutra, had to be written. Because every Sampradaya, to establish its bona fides, writes a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. And that commentary indicates what the Siddhanta or the philosophy of that Sampradaya is. So Yamanacharya wanted these three things to be done. So Ramanuja stood up and then he said, I promise, provided my health does not give way, provided Yamunacharya's mercy is upon me, and provided the Lord gives me the power to do it, that I will fulfill these three desires of Srila Yamunacharya. The moment Ramanujacharya said that, the three fingers that were closed, they opened up, they straightened out. And everyone in the assembly was struck with wonder to see that. And then they all exclaimed, even in the midst of their grief, here is our next Acharya. Ramanuja shall be the leader of the Sri Vaishnavas henceforth. And they were all rejoicing, even at this time of grief, because they knew how much Yamunacharya was worried about not having a successor appointed till date. So anyway, Ramanujacharya returned to Kanchipuram and broke the sad news to Kanchipurna, who also broke down in tears to hear this news. They both consoled each other and said, anyway, Kanchipurna said to Ramanuja, you have to prepare yourself now. We cannot let our emotions take control of us. You have work to do, Ramanuja. You have a mission in your life ahead. Prepare yourself for this. Ramanuja continued the seva of Varadaraj in the association of Kanchipurna. But the more he stayed in the association of Kanchipurna, the more his appreciation and love and respect for Kanchipurna grew. And one day Ramanuja asked Kanchipurna, I want to become your disciple. Please initiate me. And Kanchipurna said, what are you saying, Ramanuja? How is this possible? You know that you think that I am an exalted person, but I know that I am an ordinary person. And in any case, you are a Brahmana and I am a Vaishya. And we do not want to disturb the social custom in such a way by somebody as prominent as you, who is a Brahmana, taking initiation from me, a Vaishya. This is not appropriate. So Ramanuja, he tried to counter that, because his view was, and he told Kanchipurna, we have all respect for social customs in this regard, but when it comes to the path of devotion to the Supreme Lord, then that is the ultimate defining criterion for anything. One who is a great devotee of the Lord is not to be considered in terms of bodily designations like varna or ashrama or in any other criterion. But when he saw that Kanchipurna was refusing to budge, so then he accepted. He relented and said, all right. And then he said, oh dear Kanchipurna, please come to my place for prasadam. Permit me to at least host you at my house for lunch prasadam. So Kanchipurna happily agreed to come. At the appointed time, Kanchipurna set out to go to Ramanuja's place, and Ramanuja meanwhile set out to go to Kanchipurna's home to bring him. Now as it happened, the two took different paths, so they did not meet. When Kanchipurna arrived at the house of Ramanuja, Ramanuja was not there. Only Ramanuja's wife was there. So she said, my husband will be back in some time. He said, no, I have service to do. So please feed me prasadam now and I will leave very soon. So she fed him the prasadam. Kanchipurna had the prasadam and left very quickly. Meanwhile, Ramanuja's wife was not a very devout lady. She did not have that kind of refined Vaishnava culture. And she was too steeped in bodily considerations, in judging people. So because Kanchipurna was from a Vaishya family and he had come to their house to take prasadam, she was not happy about it. But because it was her husband's decision, she didn't say anything. But after Kanchipurna left, she threw away the banana leaf in which Kanchipurna had taken prasadam. And then considering that place to be impure because he was from a lower varna, she cleaned the place with cow dung and water. Now this was a great offense actually. So Ramanuja came back. He had not found Kanchipurna at his residence. So he came back and then he asked his wife. His wife said Kanchipurna came here. He had prasadam and he left. Oh, what a misfortune. I missed him. Where is his Mahaprasadam? Where is his leaf plate? Then she told him, well, I threw it away because he's from a low varna and then I cleaned up this whole place. Actually, what happened was that she would not have told him this point. But because she considered herself contaminated, she had a bath. So when Ramanuja asked her, why have you had a bath at this time? Then she had to explain the reason. Then Ramanuja was furious. But what could he do? He couldn't do much. So anyway, he was thinking. So he went back to Kanchipurna to apologize, to make amends. Kanchipurna, of course, was not at all offended by anything like this. He, on the other hand, was very encouraging. They had wonderful discussions. And then Ramanuja spoke to Kanchipurna and said, I have some questions which have been in my heart for a long time. And would you be kind enough to ask Lord Varadaraj for the answers to my doubts and questions? Because Ramanuja knew that Kanchipurna would actually converse with Varadaraj. And Varadaraj would indicate things to him. So Kanchipurna said, certainly I will do that. So at the opportune time, Kanchipurna came in front of Lord Varadaraj and just stood there. So there was a pause for a few moments. Then Lord Varadaraj spoke. So Kanchipurna, it seems you have something to ask me. So Kanchipurna said, yes, Lord. What do you have to ask me? I know. He said, Ramanuja has some doubts. He says, I know what his doubts are. So you can give him the answers to his questions. So the Lord didn't need to be told what the questions were, of course. He said, just convey my answers to him. What is the first answer? My first answer is, I am Paratattvam, I am the supreme absolute truth. The second thing you should tell him, that the souls are different from me. There is a bheda. Third, one can attain liberation from this world by having staunch faith in me. Fourth, thought of me at death is not compulsory for those who are faithful to be able to go back to Godhead. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Antakale cha mam eva smaran muktva kalevaram yah prayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra sanshayah. One who remembers me at the time of death will go back to my abode. But one who doesn't remember me will have to come back. Now, we have always been told you have to remember Krishna at death, which is a fact. But the point is, suppose there is a pure devotee of the Lord and he leaves his body in his sleep. Or as has happened in some cases, he leaves in some way where he's not able to remember at that moment. So will he not go back to Godhead? Yes, he will. So here is the assurance from Lord Varadaraj himself. He says, if the devotee is faithful, he is my pure devotee, then at the time of death, I will take care. Even if by some circumstance the devotee is not able to remember me at that exact moment, still he will come back home, back to Godhead. Just some days ago, in one of the three temples, I don't remember because so many programs have been going on, I have lost track of what I have spoken in which temple. But one of the three temples in Bengaluru, I was mentioning how, mentioning the same principle with an example. And the example is of an employee in a company. The employee gets a salary. For how many days work does the employee get salary? 30 days. Now how many days does the employee work? 25 days. Because he gets a holiday, right? So he works for 25 days, but he gets paid for 30 days. So supposing some very bright employee goes up to the employer and says, I'm working for 25 days, but you're paying me for 30 days. In other words, you are paying me for 5 days even when I'm not working. So I'll quit the job, you just pay me for those 5 days. Did you get the point? For those 5 days which I'm not working, anyway you're paying me even though I'm not working. So you continue to pay me for those 5 days. And I'm quitting the job. Anyway, I'm not working for those 5 days and you're paying me. So continue to pay me for the 5 days salary. What will the employer say? I'm paying you for those 5 days only because you're working for 25 days. If you don't work for 25 days, you don't get the salary for the 5 months, 5 days also. So in the same way, if we are remembering Krishna all the time, we engage in his service all the time, then even if by some chance or some force of circumstance we are not able to remember Krishna at the exact time of death, still Krishna will say, you work for me rest of your life, rest of the day, so you'll get your salary even though you couldn't remember me at this moment. In other words, you could remember me, but still I'll take you back to Godhead. So Lord Bharadaraj has given a wonderful reassurance to all devotees who may lose hope, thinking what can happen. Even King Kulashekhara, one of the alwars, has prayed, Krishna tvadiya padapankaja panjarantam adyaivame vishatu raj manasa raja hamsaha prana prayana samaye kafavata pittehi kantha varodhana vidhau smaranam kutaste. He says, my dear Krishna, at the time of death, everything is going to become so painful. And the kapha, vata, pitta, the mucus, bile, air, they all gather in the throat. And in the midst of that extreme discomfort and pain, how will I be able to think of you? So therefore, please let me die now, when my mind and body are healthy and I can think of you. So this doubt is there in everybody's mind. But now Krishna, in the form of Varadaraja, has assured us, if you are faithful to me throughout your life, if you are serving me with pure devotion throughout your life, even by some circumstance, if you do not remember me at death, I will take you back to Godhead. That does not mean, of course, that we should become complacent. Oh, now this assurance, so even if I don't remember, it's okay. So if we become complacent, then Krishna will not take us back. Then this doesn't hold good. Then the next point he says is, release from bondage follows immediately after death for a pure devotee. And finally, the final answer to Ramanuja's question. Ramanuja must have asked him the question, who do I accept as my guru? So he gives the answer, choose Mahapurna as your acharya. So Kanchipurna faithfully relays the answers back to Ramanuja. And Ramanuja then very happily tries to consider these questions. He's happy that his doubts have been answered. Meanwhile, at Sri Rangam, the last rites of Yamunacharya have been done. The Sri Vaishnavas there are still trying to come to terms with the fact that Yamunacharya is no longer with them on the physical material platform. And there is great anxiety amongst them because they still don't have an acharya. So as they're discussing amongst themselves, Mahapurna is also there in the assembly. So they ask Mahapurna, oh Mahapurna, you are very wise. You please tell us, how do we come out of this predicament? What is the solution to this problem? Who shall be our acharya? So Mahapurna says, why is there any doubt in this regard? Our spiritual master Yamunacharya has not once but repeatedly declared his desire that Ramanuja should be the torch bearer of our faith in the future and become his successor. Don't you remember when he came here at the time of our Guru Maharaj's passing away? He made those promises and the three fingers straightened out and he extolled the virtues and the suitability of Ramanuja for this particular service. And all the devotees were very happy to hear this proposal. And they said, Mahapurna, please go immediately to Kanchipuram and bring Ramanuja back and make him the head of our Vaishnava order. So Mahapurna happily goes, but first he goes to take permission from the Lord, from Lord Ranganath. His wife also accompanies him. As they proceed, Mahapurna reaches the lake called the Madhurantaka, which is a tank. There is a deity of Lord Ram over there also. Where have you heard this mentioned, Madhurantaka? The tank Madhurantaka, I mentioned it. Yes. The previous birth of Yadava Prakash, who was a lizard living on the banks of the Madhurantaka. Some Sri Vaishnavas came there and he got their Mahaprasad and he became a Brahmana in the next life. So anyway, so Mahapurna and his wife arrived at that spot and it was a holy spot. He decided to rest there for the day. In the meanwhile, Ramanuja, having received the answers to his six questions, and in particular to the sixth question of who he should accept as his guru, he started out from Kanchipuram towards Sri Rangam. and he arrived at Madhurantaka tank when Mahapurna was also there. So both of them met at that place and they were overjoyed. And without further ado, Ramanuja came to the point and immediately fell at Mahapurna's feet and said, "Please, I beg of you to initiate me now." And Mahapurna said, "Yes, that is also what I have been ordered to do. But we are not very far away from Lord Varadaraj in Kanchipuram. So let us go back together to Kanchipuram, and in his presence the initiation can take place." But Ramanuja said, "There is not a moment to waste." Because he had had the experience with Yamunacharya. When he came to see Yamunacharya, he was late, just by a few minutes. So he said, "No, at this very moment I beg of you. Life is like a lightning bolt. It'll come and go like this. We never know what may happen tomorrow. So please initiate me right now." So seeing his zeal, Mahapurna set up whatever facilities were required for the Diksha ceremony according to the Pancharatra Shastras. And the initiation ceremony happened there. And in this way, both Ramanuja and Mahapurna were happy. Ramanuja, in great joy, brought Mahapurna and his wife to Kanchipuram. There, he took them for darshan of Lord Varadaraj, and then he brought them to his house. Ramanuja had a house in which there was a ground floor and a first floor. He and his wife stayed on the ground floor. So he gave the place on the first floor to Mahapurna and his wife. For 6 months continuously, Ramanuja studied the Vaishnava texts under the guidance of Mahapurna. One day, it so happened that the wife of Ramanuja, as well as the wife of Mahapurna, both came to the well in their premises at the same time with their own pots to lift the water. And actually, before this incident, another incident happened, which is that even during these 6 months, one time two Vaishnava guests came to the house. And then after doing some service for Ramanuja, they were hungry. So they asked Ramanuja if they could get something to eat. Ramanuja went to ask his wife, "Is there anything to eat at home? Any rice left?" She says, "No, not a grain left." So Ramanuja went into the kitchen and did his own investigation and found out that there was some rice hidden somewhere. So he became furious. That is this how we take care of our guests? It is a great sin to do this kind of thing. But he was so furious, but he could not do much. Anyway, his guru was in his house. It was not a good thing to quarrel with his wife like this when his guru was just living above. But he was very, very unhappy to see the attitude of his wife. You see, Vaishnav Seva and Atithi Seva in general is a very important part of Vedic culture. And anytime anyone comes to our house or to our ashram, we should welcome that person with sweet words at the very least. And then offer some water and if possible some prasadam. But somehow Ramanuja's wife didn't have that inclination to serve guests and Vaishnavas like this. So what to do? Anyway, Ramanuja's studies under Mahapurna continued. And then one day this incident happened when the wife of Ramanuja and the wife of Mahapurna both went to the well to draw water. They had a pot each. And somehow, at that time, an altercation broke out. A quarrel broke out between the two ladies regarding something about the pots. And then when the discussion became a little heated, Mahapurna had been standing there. So he admonished his wife Mahapurna considered his wife, his own wife, to be the cause of the quarrel. So he was very upset. And immediately he told his wife, "We are leaving this place right now." Because he did not want any trouble or embarrassment to come to Ramanuja because of his own wife's behavior. So he left without a word. Ramanuja had gone out for some work. When he came back, he did not see Mahapurna and his wife. And his own wife would not say anything. So then the neighbors were there. The neighbors said, "Yes, actually what happened was that the two ladies were quarreling over some pot near the well. And Mahapurna was watching this and he became very angry with his wife. And therefore he took his wife away and left, saying that he did not want to cause any trouble here in the house." Ramanuja understood that it must have been his wife also who had a great deal to contribute in this whole problem. So now this was too much for him. So he went to his wife and began to rebuke her very strongly. He said, "Not once, but thrice, you have made major blunders. Firstly, when the great soul Kanchipurna came to our house, you considered him to be of a low caste, and you even cleaned his place, the place where he sat down to eat with cow dung and water, thinking it had become impure, and you took a bath after that because you felt you had become impure. What an offense to a great Vaishnava you did. Second time you made a mistake, the Vaishnavas came to our house, they asked for food, and even though there was food, you did not give it to them, and you said you told a lie. And this is the third time. You have caused an offense to my guru and to his wife. Therefore, enough of this. I will not tolerate this." So he sent her to her mother's home. And as she went, Ramanuja was now thinking, "Now what should I do? This world is very hateful. So many problems and issues here, the natures of people." And he was a deep sense of renunciation overwhelmed his mind. And he was thinking, "I have so much to do for this mission. And just see how my wife is behaving." Then he decided it was time for him to take sannyas. We see this similarly in the case of Srila Prabhupada. When his wife was also not cooperating in his Krishna consciousness, and there is that one episode when he found the Bhagavatam in his house missing, and when he asked his wife about the book, she said she had sold them because there was no biscuits to have along with the tea. So Prabhupada was extremely sorry, very sad to hear this. And eventually nobody in his family was taking to Krishna consciousness seriously. He had done his duties as well as he could. But now time was passing by. The order that his spiritual master had given him many years ago was still in his mind, that he had to spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. But if this family situation was to continue, then it would never happen. He was now into his 50s. He decided to take Vanaprastha, retirement life. And then eventually he went to Vrindavan. And finally he took sannyas. He was of course in his 60s when he took sannyas. Ramanuja was a young man, relatively, at this time. So Ramanujacharya decided that he had to take sannyas. So he went to Lord Varadaraj and revealed his mind. "This is what I want to do." And Lord Varadaraj said, he conveyed his blessings for this action through Kanchipurna. And the message said, "My own Ramanuja, you shall now henceforth don the clothes of a sannyasi and serve me in that capacity. And the Lord gave him a sannyas name, Ramanuja Muni. You see, there are two ways to take sannyas, according to the Vaishnava Smriti or even the general Smritis. One is you take sannyas from a sannyas guru, which is the standard way of doing it. But in exceptional cases, you can take sannyas directly from the Supreme Lord. Now, maybe I shouldn't have mentioned it. But certainly in ISKCON it is not permitted to take it directly from the Supreme Lord. There is a whole system, there is a whole procedure to be followed. It takes years of so many things, of procedures and many other things to fulfill. So let not anybody listening to this who is frustrated with his family life think that this would be the right thing to do at this point in time. The best thing to do would be to just continue on with Krishna consciousness, with enthusiasm, and take whatever situation is going on in life as the blessings and arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So anyway, Ramanuja became Ramanuja Muni. When we go tomorrow morning to Paridhana Shila, not far from here, we'll see this was the place, a shila, there's a stone, where it is said you can keep your saffron cloth and give yourself sannyas. So when Ramanuja had fled from Sri Rangam to come to Melkote, and we'll talk about that tomorrow, he was forced to wear white clothes so that he could escape detection by the forces of the evil king who were persecuting him and his followers. So when he came here, he was in white. So he wanted to don his original saffron clothes again. So it is said that he came to the Paridhana Shila and that is where he took his saffron cloth and again donned the robes of a sannyasi. Of course, those were emergency measures. That is not something that can be replicated or imitated. Even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took sannyas in that way, in front of the picture of his own guru. But it is not that ordinary souls should try to imitate them. It will cause havoc in society. So this began a new chapter, not only in the life of Ramanujacharya, but also in the whole Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. So with this, what we will do is, we will halt here because we have to go now to the Yoga Narasimha temple. It's a long climb, 360 steps up. Those of you who are older in age but still want to climb, or if you have some physical difficulty but still want to climb, you may proceed first. The transportation can take you there. You begin your climb and the other devotees will follow, and we will reach up to Yoga Narasimha for Darshan. And we'll discuss more about Yoga Narasimha. When we get there, we will come down to the Kalyani, which is a huge water tank. On different sides of the tank, there are some different places, which in a very short talk there for 10 minutes or maybe more, not more than that, we will discuss the places to be seen over there as we come down from the hill. Last time when I was here, I had met one pujari who serves Yoga Narasimha. He had been serving for 40 years. And every day he would go up to cook for the deity. And there is no piped supply there, water supply. Neither is there a well or a water tank. So you have to carry water and all the provisions from the bottom, from the foothill, all the way up to the top of the hill. And he would do it four times every day for 40 years. Now you climb up one time and you will get a taste of what it is to do that. And he was doing it four times. And they have a certain way of doing it. They climb like this upwards, not like this. Because in that way it's a relief for the legs. They've evolved a certain technique of climbing up the stairs. So in any case, what is striking is not just the fact that he was enduring such physical inconvenience, putting in so much physical effort to go up and down, but his consistency, his steadiness, his faith, his devotion, the same service. And it's not that upstairs there's some nice mixers and grinders and all that available. Press a button and things. No, everything had to be cooked. When we go there, if possible, if they allow us, we can take a look at the kitchen also over there. Or at least from outside, maybe they may allow us. The space is very small over there. So he would climb up and down every day and stay there for hours. And after the service was over, he would come back every day. For 40 years he had been doing this. These are lessons to learn from us. We get tired of doing one particular service after a short time. And we want some change. We want some variety. But here is what steadiness is. And not that he was thinking it's a burden. It was a labor of love for him. He was actually feeling the great devotion and doing it for his Lord. So there is a lot we can learn from many people in this world who are devoted to the Supreme Lord. So now we will end a little early, it's 5 minutes past five, so that we can all proceed. Otherwise later on it will become very crowded and it may become dark as well. Yes, any announcements to make at this time? Okay, thank you very much. What is our program tomorrow? You want to announce? Okay. But morning Mangal Arati, 5 o'clock. And 5:30, we will leave for a japa walk to some places near the Sanskrit Academy. We will go from here, nearby, this way and that way, both ways. So it may take us about an hour or hour and a half, maybe more, so please do come. At least before 5:30 if possible. And we'll go to these places, come back for breakfast, and then our day's program will be informed to you. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.